Caution. The ultimate spicy meatball from Domino's is hot. Just not stupid hot. It won't earn you mythical status or get you a nickname like Mad Dog or Dragon's Breath. It's hot. Good hot. The kind of hot that boosts taste, nothing else. The ultimate spicy meatball with sriracha drizzle from Domino's. It will get you fired up. Domino! Subject to availability.
This is a Global Player original podcast.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 Thang.
Welcome to the 4 till 7 Thang podcast. No Sunter this week, instead TC Tommy Crosdale's here. Tommy!
Right.
Great having you on board, Tom.
Yeah, thanks for having me here.
It was really nice. What was your favourite bit, do you think?
Too many highlights to pick from.
Great, you can't, great nothing. Answer. It's like white noise.
I think it was the time that I won the lottery.
Yes. Lottery winner Tom Crosdale.
No publicity, remember.
And you're going to keep your job, though, aren't you?
Wait a second, that's not in the podcast. Anything else you would enjoy? Anything else you enjoyed? Anything else?
Probably those adult stores on the A12, was it?
Yeah.
Is that in the podcast?
That didn't make the podcast. Anything else?
Yeah.
Anything else? Go on, that you really
like. You're testing me now.
Did you enjoy the quiz, for example?
No.
No, okay. I don't blame you.
That's not in the podcast. We can't hear you enjoy or not enjoy any of the items you listed. But I thought, little size 2-year-old mocking him. Do you remember that?
Oh, no, that was class, yeah.
That was class. That is in the
podcast.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, plus Princess of Wales ushered in a brand new era for royal style. Do you remember that? Mm. With big hair and big stuff.
Yeah,
you remember that?
Puffball skirts.
That's in. Yep. And the Woodman has a man who thought he'd seen the world at its most barbaric, brutal, and I would add bestial, but he gets the shock of his life when he enters the Woodman's right little slot. In fact, 3 shocks. 4.
If you count the lot.
Yeah, right. Don't give it away, Woodman.
Don't give it away.
It's the podcast. Enjoy. Gav, my weekend.
Yes, how was yours?
Well, 3 disasters.
Why?
Alabama lost.
Oh, yes, I got... I was up at midnight watching
really,
that.
It really was the big sporting one for me.
I was looking forward to it.
Texas Longhorns going to Tuscaloosa, the first time in 120 years.
I really gave
it big. I let Vinny really let us off the leash on the kickabout on Saturday. We talked about it.
Oh, man.
Mind you, Vinny said it all. When I was bigging up the Alabama coach, this is for the NCAA, that's college American football.
It was a big deal.
They lost Texas Longhorns on...
They never got their chin above water. It was frustrating.
Quarterback hasn't got much of an arm. Anyway.
No. He can run,
but you need an arm.
Sure.
Anyway, Vin, I said, Nick Saban, my hero, is the coach. He's trouble is he's too old. He goes, not really. He's just like, you know, Roy Hodgson, isn't he?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. Like I said.
I think once you hit 80, for example, you have to switch. We get Nick Saban over here. They get Roy Hodgson in college football.
I'm just saying, you can't. Yeah, you know, but you can't. I just think with American football, the sort of speeches they give them to fire them up, you've also got to be like a sort of preacher.
Yeah, you do. Yeah,
some kind of preacher man.
Definitely.
Like really whipping them up, and then you say, then they actually call in the chaplain, and they do that. What we do today, we hurt people for God.
That's right.
Today we will lovingly visit violence on the bodies of our enemies in the name of God and Jesus.
Sweet
Jesus, enable us to kill and to maim and to destroy
the
enemy. Should a linebacker come your way, Jesus, please maim him on behalf of the state of Alabama. Anyway, hard luck. Gav.
Yes.
You had a real result, though.
I did. I discovered gold in Argentina.
Yeah, go on.
I did. I went for a birthday dinner, and the beer they were selling in this Argentinian steakhouse.
Yeah, which I just ordered a case of.
I thought I'd seen all the beers.
Yeah.
I'm not that young anymore, contrary to popular belief.
No, you haven't. No, there's...
And there's so many. It's ridiculous.
There's millions, Gav.
There really are.
It seems that... Clear, quite fizzy, crisp, lager.
Amber liquids,
is easy to make.
Which
makes microbreweries all the more surprising. They're incapable of making any lager that doesn't taste like washing up liquids escaped into it.
Grapefruit flavour.
Someone was saying that since Brexit, 164 or so microbreweries have shut down.
Have they?
Yeah, I was thinking, at last, an upshot. A decent, they've had one result. You know, a bit of me saying it was worth it.
It's funny, though, because the restaurateur assured me you couldn't buy this beer anyway.
Did he assure you?
He assured. I said, can you buy this here in England? And he goes, no.
He says, how did he say he gets
only
it?
Here. Only for me. I am the only one.
Yeah, I love that.
It's brilliant. Anyway, you can buy it all over the place. It's called Quilmes.
Well, yeah, you've got an off license just around the corner in Hampton.
Yeah, Hampton,
which is very near the restaurant, which is probably precisely where he gets it, Gaff.
I will be going there and buying some beers.
What's it called?
It's called Quilmes. Quilmes.
Quilmes.
Quilmes.
Yeah.
Cerveza deliciosa.
Well, you know what? Anywhere where there's been a bit of a German, where the Germans have...
They end up knowing,
And Argentina, let's face it, you had 50,000 guys there after the war.
Absolutely.
I don't know when Quilmes started. I tell you, a really suspicious one is the one in Tenerife.
Oh, yeah.
The Canary Islands one.
Well, they got their own lager.
Yeah, which I noticed was founded.
Right.
Yeah. Which is really good. I forgot what it's called. But guess when it was founded.
Was it 1946?
No, it was 1939.
Oh, was it?
Of course it was 1939. Because they knew they were going to have loads of U-boats dropping off there with thirsty sailors on neutral Spanish territory who wanted to had a bit of a thirster slake.
Johnny Vaughan. Radio X.
Little Si, you were mocked by your two-year-old son. What happened?
Yeah, so we've been leaving a lot of our windows open of late.
Why do you say that?
Right.
Well
there's loads and loads of thieves listening to this show. It's a thieves' dream.
We lock up if we go out to all those thieves.
Doesn't matter.
To all those thieves. To all you thieves out there.
It doesn't matter, Si.
Sorry,
you don't come on air and say, we're always leaving all our windows wide open in Summerfields. Or where is it? Where is it?
Berrylands.
Berrylands. Yeah. I guess you have to let in the smell.
There's not many thieves in Berrylands because people can't stand the smell.
Yeah.
They don't approach
even,
the houses.
Even the
area.
Thieves are discerning. They turn their nose up.
It's been very hot recently.
Yes. So
anyway. We were in the bedroom in the morning, getting ready, and I saw...
Who's we?
This is Emily, Rafe, and I, my two-year-old
it's
son.
Not,
and
in that part of Britain, when you say we were in the bedroom, it might not necessarily stop at one couple.
That's true. So, and anyway, I suddenly see this massive... spider.
Right.
I mean, I'm talking the size of my hand.
Hand.
So it was like a small monkey.
It was huge. You could see its eyes.
Its individual eyes.
Yes.
Was it looking into your very soul?
Oh, it's awful.
You could see its eyes.
Anyway, I didn't want to...
Eight eyes, spiders, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have
they?
I didn't want to hurt it. I thought I'd be... Because Rafe was there. I thought I'd be quite sort of, you know,
suave about it. Yeah.
And I thought I'd get a pot, put it over the top.
Mm-hmm. Slide
it. Get a bit of paper and take it out. Right.
Classic.
But the spider was on the radiator.
Yeah. And?
It's serrated.
Very difficult to put the pot over.
Yes.
Yes. You can't trap it. Yeah.
Corrugated, sorry.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway, I put it on. I thought, I'm doing well here. Then it just pops out of the hole.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
And I just made...
Just get on with it, for Christ's sake.
I just made the slightest, ooh, like that. And it wasn't a scream.
You squealed, Simon,
but it was enough for a two-year-old who can't talk to pick up on.
And laugh at you about.
It was enough for a two-year-old to know the sound of cowardice.
Yes.
All right, okay.
Because for the next day, and today, this morning, we went into nursery.
Yeah.
And when I was dropping him off and the teacher asked him how his weekend was, he acted it out in front of
me. He's doing the squeal.
Yeah, he mocked you at the gate.
Said, I
know. Do you reckon he's the only person?
He's
the only father who's still getting bullied at nursery school. It's quite extraordinary. It's extraordinary.
He said, pot, and then ran around, put the pot on the floor, and then went, like that. I did not squeal. All it was.
That boy is never going to respect you ever one day
annoying.
In his life.
That's
not for one day is he going to respect
that's
you.
That's it, isn't it? That's the moment.
It's over. Yep.
It's over.
That's done.
You've lost the boy.
He is now the man of the house.
Yes, he is the man of the house. X.
The Škoda Karoq candles. Who fancies dinner out tonight?
Me, yay!
Beautifully. Handles. Nipping to the shops. Beautifully. Handles. Are we there yet? beautifully. Handles, beautifully. Handles, walkies, beautifully. The Škoda Karoq handles life beautifully. Škoda.
Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
For those who can't afford a throne of their own, can you afford a throne of your own, anyone?
No.
Tom?
No.
Certainly not a proper gilded one.
I'd love it if we cut
one
to Tom's flat and that's all he's got in there. It's just a throne. He's put it all into it. There's no other furniture. There's just a TV and a throne. And he sleeps in it and everything, and that's it.
What would I rest my feet on, though?
Well, then you have a, you'd probably have a little...
A peasant!
Cleaner.
If you've got a throne, you must have a peasant.
I'd love it if Tom puts all his money into a throne and one member of staff. Boom!
Circle of life.
Yes! Right, guys.
Go on.
For those who can't afford a throne of their own, an auction is offering the next best thing, a chair from the coronation.
Oh, yeah?
Six pairs of coronation chairs are to be auctioned by Christie's. The proceeds will go to four charities chosen by the couple. I'm not even going the Princess, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
It just strikes me as...
Coronation chairs,
no, it's. I tell you what's really awful about this, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, they're estimated they're going to start about $4,000 for a pair of chairs, right? Charles commissioned these.
Yeah.
Right, it's four pairs.
Yeah.
That's $16,000.
Yeah.
Do you know something? Do they get this? Do they get the what's the irony here?
Right.
That they're auctioning them off for charity. Oh, that's nice of them, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's nice of them. Because if they really cared, that's where it would have gone in the first place.
Yeah, right.
That's where it would have gone.
Yeah.
Do they care about people or not? Or the sort of the grandeur and the gloriousness.
It's a bit of having it both times, isn't
it? Yes, it's ridiculous.
It's like you get the chairs and then you get to do something good.
Now you want charity. No, and then we thought we'd spend literally $100,000 on some chairs, which is probably what it cost them to kind of get the rare wood imported with a massive carbon footprint from some forest in New Zealand.
Sure.
Like the Scottish Parliament, which got all its wood from New Zealand. Not even local wood.
It's mad, isn't it? Yeah.
Scotland, wood, they got it.
Yeah.
But did they get it from there? No.
No.
No, just to up the bill a little bit. No, we didn't. We went to New Zealand.
It's a very rare bear claw maple.
It's like iron.
Yeah.
Peach.
Yeah.
Is that iron peach?
Probably, I don't know.
But if there was, they got it there.
Sure.
Anyway, they were commissioned for the ceremony by the King and Queen. They're commissioning chairs. Yeah, they didn't decide, no, let's just give money. Should we do the chairs or should we just give money to poor people and charities? Nah, let's have chairs. I think chairs are a bit more important at the moment.
Yeah, chairs. Everyone wants chairs.
Anyone we could dream of helping. The auction will take place on The Collector, a global online platform. Do you know what? Let's call their bluff. Let's start demanding things for charity.
Definitely. I want the crown.
Right.
They said auction the crown.
No, that shirt you wore, you know, when you went behind the screen, that simple
before
thing.
The oiling.
Yeah, I'll give you $10,000 for it. Now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I want your trousers. Well, no, I'm not. I'm offering $5,000 for trousers.
All his double-breasted jackets.
I want all of them. Yeah, but also just...
From the 80s.
So I'll bring cash offers in. So see the Royals now, like, literally, like a shopping channel. Like one of those lifestyle, like a catalogue.
It'd be a hell of a website, because they got a lot of stuff.
Right, just start putting bids in on anything.
I like it.
I can't believe it. They just want to keep me in a cupboard. I've offered $1,000 for that, for that whole military uniform.
Yeah.
Can't believe it. Yeah. You know his gown? I offered him $5,500. Sold a car. I want to get a sable gown.
Radio X.
First up, almost 3/4 of people with young children say it's getting harder to bring them up.
Right.
Can I just say, we were trying to get hold of Dan O'Connell for that story. Our new correspondent for parents having trouble.
Man,
but
is he the correspondent.
What? We couldn't get a hold of him.
No, he was,
He's got his hands full.
He's got his hands full.
Of course
full.
We have. It's the end of the school run. He's going into teen. He's got to come in and do a show.
He's spinning so many plates,
that man, that so I couldn't get hold of him. Otherwise, we would have had comment from that.
Yeah.
But it is getting harder. Mm. Parents, you have our sympathy out there. We know what you're going through. Dan O'Connell, perhaps more than most.
Mm-hmm.
So don't think you're not represented. Your feelings, your thoughts, your emotions. Emotions,
sure.
Your dreams are unrepresented right here on Radio X in the embodiment in the body of Dan O'Connell. And to a lesser extent, your man Tej, but I'm a bit more of an old pro about parenthood.
Sure.
Second up,
go on.
Sports. I'm afraid Prince Harry, he's over in Germany, and he got involved. He got involved with a shootout.
What?
Not with guns.
Why?
With a football one. So,
oh, yeah.
Prince Harry.
Yeah.
He had to wear a German football scarf as a forfeit for this, for what
this
he
challenge,
did.
Yes, right, right.
We've got an English prince wearing a German football scarf, what? Yeah? Mm. He was challenged to kick a ball through two holes in a wall on German national television, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, never do that. You know it's a trap.
They're trying to claim him back, aren't they?
They're just trying to trap him, Gaff.
Yeah.
You're on a television show and suddenly there's a wall there.
Yeah.
And they're trying to make you kick a ball there just as a thing. You know, just say, no, there's a trap. Someone like, well, I can't win this.
On.
Yeah, you know, they've rigged the game.
Yeah,
so get this, yeah?
Yeah.
He failed to score a single point.
Right.
He couldn't kick through the hole.
No.
Get this. Boris Pistorius, the German defence minister.
Right.
Yeah, he chipped his first two attempts neatly through the hole.
You are joking.
Boom, boom.
Did he used to play for Dortmund or something? Is he one of those people that used to be a pro?
But Harry's appearance on Das Aktuelle Sportstudio, ZDF's primetime sports programme, which intended to promote the Invictus Games, the annual world tournament for injured soldiers and veterans, he founded in 2014.
Yeah.
After the opening ceremony in Dusseldorf, he hitched a lift with Pistorius on a German Air Force helicopter in the public broadcast to the public broadcaster's headquarters.
Wow.
And he greeted the viewers with Guten Abend, meine Damen und Herren. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And he praised Germany for the flair with which it was hosting the game. So that's all good.
Nice.
But never do that.
Are you really risking a lot?
Conveniently got him in a helicopter.
Yeah.
With the German defence minister,
uh-huh.
who it turns out is a dab hand.
Yeah,
don't
right.
tell me he has no one in his back garden for the last
definitely.
Year.
Definitely.
Getting ready to literally lock horns with literally British royalty. And last up, guys, Sybil but spicy. Do you know what the biggest growth game in the world is at the moment?
What, sport or?
Yes.
God, I couldn't think. Curling.
No.
No?
Tom Crosdell.
What's that? Is it paddle? No. What's
no, the... no, it's no. not, but you're near.
Surfing?
No. I hadn't finished with Crosdell.
Sorry, go on.
What, it's...
No, go
I'm
on.
Like, I might you... have the name completely wrong.
Okay.
It's like it's kind of like squash, but...
Yeah, near.
Racquetball?
What's it called? What's it called? Gav, I'm still talking to Tom.
Come on, Tom.
With P?
Yes.
But it's not paddle.
No.
I can't remember.
I don't know.
Little Si?
Patonk.
Oh. Is Come it on. Something like pickleball?
It is pickleball. Oh. You're exactly
What's
right.
pickleball?
I would never have got that.
He's taken Big Si past him up the nose.
What's pickleball?
I don't know what it is.
Pickleball may sound like something you could get stuck in your throat during a hearty ploughman's lunch. Ploughman's lunch.
Although, ploughman.
A good name for a superhero, though.
What a superhero.
Ploughman, yeah. But anyway, it's one of the fastest growing sports in Britain. Emma Watson. Who's someone I disagree with at every twist and turn. She enjoys it.
Does she?
But it's the fastest growing sport in Britain. It combines elements of table tennis and badminton.
Right.
The game is booming thanks in part to its popularity among celebrities in America. The number of pickleball clubs in the UK has doubled to nearly 400. I'm going to try and find out what it is. This game.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, the Countess of Wessex plays it, so it must be pretty damn competitive.
Sure, yeah.
She plays it with Edward.
Right.
It's an advert for the game, isn't it?
Johnny Vaughan. Radio X.
Every day of the week, the Woodman furnishes us with a hero. Today, utterly no exception.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to lay on us a warrior,
mm-hmm.
a great warrior. By that, I mean someone who fought in World War One, the
yes,
Great War.
The Great War,
so
yeah.
hence a great warrior.
Fantastic.
Do you like what I've done there?
It's very clever.
It's great good, word. Isn't it? It's really
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
It's really good. Mm. It was clever, you know. When you say a great warrior, a lot of people don't think the Great War, First World War. But that's what I've done.
Sure.
I've done exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's witnessing something brutal and barbaric.
Sure.
In the Woodman's heroic little slot. What is it, Gav?
So the hero today, Johnny, is a man called Walter Summerford.
Right.
He has been described as the world's unluckiest man. So unfortunate, he's said to have been cursed. So during World War One, he was serving as an officer. He was a major in the infantry. He was in the trenches in Belgium. He'd led his men in several battles by the time he was knocked clean from the saddle by a bolt of lightning. This is in 1918.
Wow.
So he was He was left paralysed from the waist down.
Where's he from, this guy again, Gav? Sorry.
There's not a lot of background about where he was born, but he's obviously British.
Oh, he's British. Okay,
yeah.
Well, it's unclear.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He was left paralysed from the waist down, had to use a wheelchair, but he slowly recovered. Moving to Canada, he moved to Vancouver to start a family. He rehabilitated himself and he regained his ability to walk.
Let's go share another lightning bolt and he could walk again.
After a few years...
Rewired him.
In 1924, he was out fishing by a lake.
Yeah.
And he was sitting under a tree and he was hit by lightning again.
Right, okay. That's where I think it would be great if he'd learnt to walk with that.
He was paralysed down the right side this time, but again, he slowly recovered and he got on with his life. And then 6 years later, in 1930, he was out walking in a park in Vancouver when he was struck by lightning again.
Boom.
He never really recovered from this third strike.
Yeah,
he passed away 2 years later.
Three strikes and you're out.
But his death wasn't the end of his curse.
Tell me, it struck his coffin and suddenly...
Lightning struck...
He's alive!
Struck his grave 4 years after he was buried. And then he rose from... No, he didn't.
No.
He didn't.
He's alive!
So that's... Well, three strikes. He's not the record holder. I've had on the hero slot before Roy Sullivan, the park ranger. Seven times he got hit by lightning. He survived.
Well, he says he has.
But you reckon was he just burning himself by his cigarette or something?
There's a touch of Bullshito about that.
He was burning himself with his lighter, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Probably. Definitely. Although he did have the hat it went through, which had burnt a hole through.
Right.
I'm like, oh, yeah, right. Just burnt a nice little hole in the hat.
Major Walter Summerford.
Three strikes out. His grave got struck.
His grave got hit.
How do they know?
Because it snapped in two.
Oh, the two?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, spooky.
Ooh, very spooky.
X. These days, it's nice to know what you're getting. Like the same, when you tuck into our tasty breakfast. The same, yes, when your kids stay and eat breakfast for free. The same, woo, knowing there are over 800 hotels. And the same, every time you sink into one of our super comfy beds. Enjoy the same feeling whatever the trip. Premier Inn. Rest easy. Only available to book at premierinn.com. T's and C's apply. Up to two kids stay and eat breakfast free with a full paying adult.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
So, because it's Scotland, England at the moment, Scotland doing so well under my man, Stevie Clark, who I absolutely love.
Mm-hmm.
As a player, as a man of commitment, as a Scotsman. As
he
a
seems
man
like a man of honour.
He's just great. He's got massive. He's got a lot of integrity.
Right.
I'll tell you some stories.
Yeah, in fact,
I will in the kick about this Saturday.
Okay.
But Son of Gone With... Clantastic. I went with Magnificent. We've gone top of the jocks. Someone else saying Scotland, they're A-O-K-I. Someone else is texting and say very caberable. Thank you very much indeed. Duncan Lead says the Scots are locked and loaded. It's very good.
Locked. Lloyd and loaded.
Locked.
You always went Dutch with it there.
Of course, everything relates to the Dutch. That's where the Scouse accent comes from as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Southgate refuses to show any spontaneity against the old enemy. And he does indeed. As soon as you see, like I say, whenever you hear the two players, Maguire and Dyer, you always think surely is, not add.
It's quite a pairing, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know... It's great Maguire forever linked with the player Dyer. And I'm sure they do it just so everyone's thinking, more like Maguire is Dyer.
Bit of a pun.
What else we got? We got 4-7 bangers. How about this? And this is a beaut from Stephen Doncaster. Again, you know, read it and weep.
Sure.
Sun sub-editors.
Yeah, yeah.
Get this. Mm. Thistle do nicely. Oi! England will be battered like a Mars bar.
Oh, beautiful.
Like a Mars bar supper. Joe in Castleford. Gav, you seen that one?
Joe in Castleford.
Sorry,
yeah.
Castleford.
Where
are you from, Joe? I'm from Castle.
The most rugby league place on earth.
There is nothing more league.
There are bits of Australia that come close, but not really.
Nothing is as league.
As Castleford.
It's the word, Castleford. Although, there is There is a teacher I heard about the other day. This is the most northern name I've heard for ages, even though he's not particularly northern.
Yeah.
But I was hearing about a mate of mine who gets who's into pranic healing, yeah?
Yeah.
And the UK number one at that is Les Flitcroft.
Oh, my God.
Fantastic.
He sounds like a league legend.
It's the most northern name I've ever heard that I haven't just read on a lorry.
Yeah.
Like Les Flitcroft.
Logistics.
Transfer. Haulage.
Flitcrofts.
Flitcrofts of Preston.
And you know, Son.
You very rarely get Flitcroft of Wormley.
Joe in Castleford goes route one with Glasgow.
Glasgow's very good. We've also had Glasgow for it, lads.
Nice.
That's Alan from Leeds.
Joe's got another one from Castleford.
Yeah, go on there, go on.
Dundecent.
Oh, very good, very good. Also, Scotland are iron brutiful, which
absolutely
is fantastic.
I thought of one, Gaul Lang Syne.
Oh, that's really... You've jogged, to be kidding. Sorry, that's McMake in Bolton. Please do add Muck to your name, just so you know.
The lads will do a sterling job.
Yeah, fantastic. How about this? This is Scott from Northampton.
Yeah.
He says that Scotland are a kilt above the rest. That is feeble.
That's
because it doesn't quite...
No, but
it's not... Nothing beats King Roo, which we still haven't got about Wayne
never
Rooney
worked it out
from
yeah
years ago.
Yeah, never
just
worked
King
it
Roo.
Just, what was that?
What was it?
There is no king
what
sounds
king
like
King Roo
that.
What?
Yeah.
It's on the back page of the Sun. Just
terrible.
King Roo. What?
What is it? Lion
what?
King?
What
is
Lion
it?
Lion King? What? King Roo.
What is it?
I don't know. I still don't know to this day. It fascinates me, Gaff.
Radio X.
Thank you so much for your feeble Scotland puns. This is because, the Sun started it. They went with...
they really did start it.
Clantastic.
Terrible.
I went with Macnificent and Top of the Jocks. Someone's just put Scotch Excellent. Fez stuck on the 60. Thank you so much. Keep those coming and we'll do those in a second. Right now, though, I've got all the latest in diplomatic gossip. First of all,
go on.
It was the eve of the war in Ukraine when Boris Grebshenchikov, Russia's most famous living rock star,
yeah,
performed for possibly the last time in his homeland. Do you know what's funny about that? Yeah?
What?
Well, it just says how, sort of considering Russia stretches for 11 time zones.
Yes, it's ginormous.
And is enormous.
Yeah.
Just how isolated it's been. I mean, we haven't helped them.
No.
But we sort of forced them to be isolated. Now, the problem is, I just read a brief history of Russia, and your real problem there is that most of Asia thinks Russia's Europe and vice versa.
Yes, that's right.
That's what it says in the book. That's just great. Like,
it's exactly
that is a great
what it
line
is, yeah.
It's really, it's not what Russia is, it's just what it isn't.
Yeah.
It isn't the country.
Right.
And even that's very debatable. Like, is that Russia, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it used to be Russia. So Russia. It's kind of now, you know, so it needs an iron fist to hold it together. No, it doesn't. Right.
God.
I felt like I was playing in Hamburg in 39 or something, he told the Times. The people were great, but there was this feeling in the air. The morning after the concert in St. Petersburg, President Putin ordered the tanks in.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid his folk group, Aquarium, that's Boris's, not Putin.
Yeah,
Putin's
yeah
not, as far as I know, in a folk group. That wouldn't surprise me.
You I can see him on a mandolin or something.
You can see him suddenly, you know, he plays ice hockey. He goes riding, he sort of does, shoots bears and then has one on his back. He goes canoeing, he does these things, and suddenly you see him. He's in a folk group.
Definitely.
He just does that.
Very
just,
Canadian, all those things.
He does a real turn. Yeah, right. Yeah, anyway, so he hasn't been back to Russia since... there's been calls for an investigation into him over his opposition to the war and his financial support for Ukraine.
Mm.
He is unsure he will ever return. That's Russia's number one rock star.
Wow.
Hasn't been back since Putin ordered the tanks in.
Sure.
Next up, are you ready for this?
Go on.
Ramblin' Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Pay it now. Ramblin' Joe. he was rambling at a press conference, yeah?
Yeah.
You got to say, this is... The land of the free,
sure.
Home of the brave,
uh-huh.
World's biggest superpower, and they're now tossing up between Trump and Biden.
I know.
You sort of think
it's madness.
Honestly, I mean, for a start, they're two younger men.
Yeah,
you know, maybe get some fresh legs on the pitch. Yeah. You know, for a start.
Yeah.
Maybe some fresh, fresh legs. Maybe, is there anyone here who's not got criminal charges? Who's not facing something? Anyway, but he was at a press conference at the weekend, but it came to an abrupt and bizarre end. I don't know if you saw this.
Go on.
His press secretary said, no more questions, and just put some jazz on.
Really?
Yeah.
Some jazz.
They just played some jazz. Joe started just rambling about, he just didn't have a clue what he was talking about. They just thought, just put the jazz on.
Just put the jazz on.
Put the jazz
on. Bring the jazz.
Just... Jazz. No, but how bad is a president going to be?
Wow,
he's got to go, no more questions, put the jazz on, put the jazz on.
It's like live call holding music. Yeah. It's really weird.
Right. It's like that. President Biden will be making a statement. Your votes are important to us. If you'd like to listen to more Joe, press one now.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what happened, Gav.
Wow.
He'd said earlier that climate change was the biggest threat to humanity and was even more frightening than a nuclear war. He then began a rambling anecdote. My brother loves having these famous lines from movies he always quotes. There's this movie about John Wayne. There's an Indian scout. Then they're on their horses in the saddle and there's four Indians in headdresses and the Union soldier is basically saying, come with me, we'll take care of you. And the Indian looks at Wayne and points to the Union soldier and says he's a lying dog-faced pony soldier. Well, there's a lot of lying dog-faced pony soldiers out there about...
Play the jazz. He's doing the dog-faced pony soldier story again.
but also, starting with, my brother tells a story. Never start a rambling anecdote. Anyway, and last up, the most bizarre thing in the diplomatic calendar.
Yeah.
This is extraordinary. King Charles has sent a goodwill message to Kim Jong-un.
You're kidding.
Congratulating North Korea on its national day and sending his good wishes for the future. Maybe he thought it was King Jong-un.
It must be.
Caution. The ultimate spicy meatball from Domino's is hot. Just not stupid hot. It won't earn you mythical status or get you a nickname like Mad Dog or Dragon's Breath. It's hot. Good hot. The kind of hot that boosts taste, nothing else. The ultimate spicy meatball with sriracha drizzle from Domino's. It will get you fired up.
Domino!
Subject to availability.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio. X.
Hey. It's Martin's hot tap, isn't it? Martin, Int Radio X office, had a broken hot tap for over 8 years.
Mm.
This inspired our feature.
Martin's hot tap, he needs a brand new one. But he can't be asked to get it done. Martin's hot tap, been broken for so long. But what haven't you fixed that went wrong?
If you think I'm lazy, boy, you're crazy. Leave that broken tap, you hear me? And just in case your mind's still hazy, if it's broke, don't fix it, baby. Martin's chill like Patrick Swayze. That tap will be broke when he's fishing up Daisy. And yes, I'm small like that mouse called Maisie. But I'm 8 years old and I can rap like Stormzy.
Oh!
My God.
Sorry! That just happened right here on Radio X. That was Mabel aged 11, Ozzy aged 8 with their version of the hot tap theme. If you'd like to have a go, and I've got to tell you,
oh my God,
the bar has just been raised. That was stunning.
That was a Wellesian shift in the paradigm.
Sorry. Did it start off Marnie and we had actually a toasted reggae break in the old school? Wow.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Musical youth will be spinning in their graves.
I think he rhymed Patrick Swayze with Pushing Up Daisies there. It's unbelievable.
Patrick Swayze will be spinning in his
graves. Yeah, right.
Anyone involved in that is it's crazy.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That was serious. I'm going to remember where I was.
If you'd like to have a go, send your efforts to 83... Send your efforts to johnny@radiox.co.uk. Send your efforts to johnny@radiox.co.uk. Like I say... You know, if you want to be able to say to people, yes, I've had a song on national radio.
Yeah.
This is
a great route.
Gav, it's a fast track.
Yeah.
It's like a fast track.
It's a VIP lane.
Skip security.
Yeah, yeah.
Skip all the normal channels.
Absolutely.
Boom, you're straight through, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like having a private jet.
Yeah. It's like knowing Dominic Cummings. a VIP.
I would never say that, Kev. It's like a great thing. Yeah. As the song says, we're after all those things that you can't be asked to fix. Not only are we celebrating your apathy, also your ingenuity. Hashtag HMT, MHT, hashtag CBA, can't be asked. Here's one from Katie in Flackwell Heath.
Go on.
We've had a shoestring as a toilet flush for about 4 years now. My partner is a plumber. Okay, he's a gas engineer, not a plumber. He hates being called a plumber. Maybe that's why he hasn't fixed the toilet.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Worst thing is, why aren't toilets just designed to be used?
Like, yeah, I've never understood
it. How can
it,
they
yeah.
get, like, toilet fatigue?
I know.
Yeah, but if you use it too many times,
see, the
toilet gets
one...
tired. The toilet yeah. just gets tired. The flush, because you flushed it too many times.
Once there's water involved.
No, but you flushed it and they've... What's gone wrong there is you see you flushed it so the whole thing's broken now. Why? Well, because you must have flushed it hard.
Yeah, weird.
Oh, you must have used it like you did 1,000 other times, but that time it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Because it's a toilet.
I know.
What you got, Gav?
Ben in Leon C says, my radiator has been leaking from the valve for 2 years. But instead of tightening it and preventing the leak, I've been sellotaping a wadge of kitchen paper over the valve.
Fantastic.
It's so counterproductive that approximately every 3 to 4 months, the boiler switches off due to low pressure because of the leak. So I just refill the boiler and repeat the madness.
Fantastic.
Beautiful.
What I'd love is if there's a plumber, like a Martin's hot tap guy who came around, it's called Martin's Hot Tap, we fix anything, and he came around and just did stuff like this.
They take care of like bodges.
Yeah. There you go, that'll be fine.
Yeah,
what you done? He go, just keep sellotaping a wadge of paper
That's
over
right.
there every 3 months.
That'll be £6.
That'll be 320 quid.
Yeah.
How about this? Johnny, this is from Paul in Nottingham. Johnny, my washing machine door won't stay closed. I love this when it
These
starts.
Are the best.
Oh, no, these are the best. Yeah. These are classic. I know it needs to be left. Although a wadge of paper, sellotape.
Wadge is great. Fantastic. Great use of wadge.
Great use of wadge.
You've got a DGE as well. Yeah.
Here we go. Johnny, my washing machine door won't stay closed. I know it needs to be level. I can't be asked. It's heavy. I'm lazy.
Yeah.
Instead, I use a blob of blue tack on one of the door studs to hold it closed.
Yeah.
It's been like now 18 months. So long, in fact, my wife, Joanna, regularly asks me to pass the door blue tack after a wash is done. Absolutely stunning.
The door tack.
Has anyone got the door blue tack? Absolutely stunning. If you've got examples of DIY dodges or bodges, send us your Martin's Hot Tap to 83936 or email johnny at radiox.co.uk. Thank you so much. Radio X. Looks like TC's here. You're right there, TC.
Yeah, not bad, thank you.
Nice to have you on board. Did you enjoy yesterday's show?
I did, yeah.
What did you like about it?
Good.
Oh, I'm joking. what did you like? What did you think was wrong? Woodman Gav's here. Harry's here. You all right, Harry?
I'm right, thanks, John. Yeah.
Okay, big size at the cricket, so
yes.
You're here today.
Yeah.
How are you, Harry? Everything good?
It's all good, mate. I'm having a lovely time being here.
Did you have a nice weekend?
Yes, excellent weekend. I went to a wedding.
Do you watch any rugby?
I watched some rugby.
Yeah.
All the things.
Wow.
And how was the wedding?
Great wedding. Very American.
Was it not a rugger wedding? Then?
Not a rugger wedding, no.
Why very American?
What
it was
American?
In America.
The groom was American.
Oh, was he?
Yes. And they've got a thing which I'd never seen before where bride and groom have a dance and then groom has a dance with his mum.
What?
And everybody watches.
Oh, no, that's ridiculous. They're just making up traditions.
What the hell is that?
And then the bride has to dance with her dad, and we all watch. And then we went to a different room to party.
No, because what happens next in that room?
Yeah.
Well,
you all have to go and watch.
Have you ever been at a wedding where you clap them as they go upstairs?
Yeah.
No, but that's it.
They walked into any room.
Hey. And everyone claps as the bride and groom disappear upstairs. Everyone waits for about 10 minutes, five minutes.
And in Switzerland, they have the bells, like they do at the skiing. Yeah, yeah. As the couple ascend.
Do they?
No.
No, genuinely, though, they sit like Scandi traditions.
It would be really funny if they did.
when the groom's out...
In Austria, they push a bed out to the dance floor.
They don't mess about in Austria.
In Holland, we tend to watch.
That's right.
Of course, in Holland, it's everyone's business to see if physically they're a good match for each other, of course.
It's openly for everyone to watch.
Openly consecrate. It's very open. Like, she's physically, she chemistry is good.
She's love.
She's physically, chemically, and biologically, she's love. We check she's out, yeah. And of course, everyone likes this.
Wow. I mean,
sorry, Harry, you were saying.
And we're not even going to bring Sweden up.
No. Sweden's everyone's in the bed. Yeah, right.
I went to a Norwegian wedding.
Sorry, sauna.
Once.
Go on.
You went and when the groom goes out of the room, yeah, all the blokes have to go and kiss the bride. For every time he's out. Yeah, legit.
No, that's just biker.
This is sure. just no, not that's a biker. Wedding.
That's yeah, a right. biker wedding.
That's a biker wedding.
And only then can she marry.
Yeah,
right?
That's when the old lady gets kissed by all the men there.
They're kissed.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the old lady. And then they go on their old man's hog.
That's right,
yeah. That's fine. Yeah.
It's a weird tradition.
It's a very strange tradition.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've been to the old Norwegian wedding?
Yeah, the old modern Viking festival.
I like the idea that the old Norwegian wedding is now our word for an orgy. Yeah, right. Ah, the old Norwegian wedding. Hey,
very much like a Norwegian wedding. Yeah.
No, I went down to Purley at the weekend. Ah, the old Norwegian wedding.
You know how it goes.
But was it a good wedding, Harry?
Oh, it's excellent. Definitely the most lavish wedding that I've ever been to. Mm. It's great. Wow. Massive fireworks.
Well, did you not have to? What was it? Was
free bar. Free bar.
I know you've only been to weddings in Wales. Were beer and wine free?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
And rum. That's lavish.
Beer and wine.
Rum. And
rum.
Champagne.
What drinks did you have to buy?
Zero drinks did I have to buy.
Wow.
All on
house.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah.
I know you've only been for weddings in Wales, where I know that they up the prices at the bar. It's double tonight. Right? Got a right crowd in.
X. The Honda HR-V Hybrid is a very good-looking car. So here we are on the radio, where its clean lines can't distract from its other qualities, like its spacious interior, advanced safety features, a standard, connectivity. Oh, hang on. Are some of you searching online for a picture of it? Okay, it's gorgeous, but you know what? Go to a showroom, see it in person, maybe even test drive it. It's not all about looks. Honda, the power of dreams.
Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
There's nothing like an A road in Kent to juxtapose for comic effect the timing of the finding of something beautiful.
Okay, go on, yeah.
Just a mention of an A road in Kent.
Yeah, it's just suddenly, it's like, yeah.
Case in point.
Go on.
Roman sculpture of sea god surfaces beneath an A road in Kent.
What?
Brilliant.
Wow.
What's it doing there? What behind an A road in Kent? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I used to work with someone and and it always was a punchline that they could always say, yeah, I'll just have to go back to my flat in Crouch End. There's something about a flat in Crouch End.
It sounds like a...
Yeah, it doesn't
like
matter.
Wah,
what
wah,
is, yeah,
wah,
yeah.
Wah, wah. It is, isn't it?
End up in a... Sorry, Tom, you did have been a flat in Crouch End.
Have been a flat in Crouch End.
No, I used to live off an A road in Kent, so...
Okay. Tommy!
Tom Crowe.
Tommy!
He ticks all the boxes.
Did you used to live off an A road in Kent?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I wonder if it's this one. Let's find out. A breathtaking Roman sculpture has been uncovered just a foot underground on an A road in Kent.
Wow.
The stone statue, which depicts the fish-tailed demigod Triton as he rides on a sea monster, was discovered by Canterbury Archaeological Trust on a building site being dug up for housing developments. It's probably where they're stashing stuff from the British Museum. You should check the catalogue, because I'm expecting a lot of people trying to, you know, fence goods with metal detectors. And yeah, literally, digging my garden, there it was, an Egyptian statue. Yeah. There it was, I found a mummy. Yeah, really weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, a huge mummy, yeah.
It is not known how the Egyptian sarcophagi ended up in an allotment in Chingford, Essex. Okay, get this.
Mm-hmm.
In Roman mythology, Triton was the son of Neptune and the god of the sea, who could control the waves by blowing on his conch. It's a type of shell.
Sure.
Just in case I got you wondering. You thought I was speaking metaphorically. That'd have been extraordinary talent. The sculpture is believed to have originally featured the shell in one hand, but that part had been broken off. The artifact, probably still in the British Museum. The artifact, which was carved between the late 1st and 2nd centuries, had otherwise been preserved in excellent condition. And what I like about this is, I was suddenly thinking the Romans used to really believe that each road had spirits, and bridges did as well. When you built a bridge, they used to put the body of someone recently deceased, preferably a virgin, in the foundations of it.
Right.
In fact, the song "London Bridge is Falling Down" came from the fact that when they had that land, the reason they moved it to a desert.
Mm.
It was bad luck. It was cursed. London Bridge was cursed because they found out that the body of the virgin they'd put in the foundation,
yes,
in actual fact, had been, it was murdered.
Murdered?
Yes, by her parents who wanted the money.
Oh, no.
Because it was that day it was going in. They needed a fresh body.
Wow.
Yeah, right. So that's why London Bridge, and that's the fair lady in the song.
Right.
Right.
Wow. God, yeah. That's horrifying.
It is horrifying, yeah.
God.
They got nicked and hanged.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Don't worry about that.
That makes me feel all warm and fuzzy.
Justice was seen to be done. Tom, you perhaps do it as a news item. Justice was seen to be done today after the London Bridge. Yeah, I'm not going to get to it. It gets a bit grisly. Yeah. Anyway, what I'm saying is I like the idea of Britain's roads having a god, because they are alive. They're sort of living things. They do have a character of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea of them having a god, a spirit, that you can perhaps pray to before you embark on a journey.
Absolutely,
instance,
right.
The M25, I would see as angry and vengeful.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
But symbolised by the circle.
Yeah, right. There's nothing kind about the
M25. No. There's nothing kind there.
No.
Sometimes it shows mercy.
Sometimes,
but...
Yeah, usually on the other side.
The A303, which goes past Stonehenge, whimsical. a spirit of when you pray to the 303, you're praying for whimsical, sort of cheeky con men.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I'd have my nearest big road is the A3.
Yeah.
And that heads down to Portsmouth. So
right.
Neptune himself, I would say.
You're praying to it. If you're praying to the god of the A3, it's for... You know, safe sea journey.
Yes.
You know, guide me to the...
Yeah.
You know, I think the god of the Trafford Way is the god of waiting and frustration.
Definitely.
Senseless.
The god of slowness.
Yes.
About the Spaghetti Junction. The god of indecision or something like that.
Yes, right. God of confusion.
Yes.
You pray to the Spaghetti Junction. There's a little shrine there, and you can literally look up to it
god
and pray.
God of snarl-ups.
And pray for a solution to him. Because cars enter there, but they do eventually come out.
Yes.
Somewhere, yeah.
Mm.
M6, a god of war. Relentlessness.
Do you think so? Yeah.
Yeah, the M1 is the god of utter tediousness. Without any vision. Just narrow-minded tediousness that goes on for mile after mile when they thought all motorists want to see is banking.
Yeah, that's all they want to see.
Well,
ever.
Any of you at all, we'll just have some banking.
And more of it.
And more banking.
It's true. There's much of it.
Christ
it's really boring.
It's it's a valley of tediousness.
It is. Steve in Raleigh says, Eros for the A1, as there's weirdly a lot of adult shops.
Yeah, there is. You get to this bit of... It's the only road in Britain...
Yeah.
That has like a red light area. Well, not quite, but do you know what I mean? Like motorway.
But it's an arterial road. It's not like a high street.
A1. I know, right.
It's weird.
Suddenly there's like two tattoo parlours. Then there's this real bit with the what I call the river swingers.
Right.
Which is this sort of road.
Go on.
There's this just a bit where people obviously don't do anything in the boats other than...
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what.
Yeah.
It's like on the River Ouse or somewhere, and there's just suddenly this horrible place of rotten boats and horrible caravans covered in moss.
Weird.
And nothing moves. They've just created like this horrible, sleazy-looking marina where Christ knows what happens, but it's sandwiched by two
I'm not sure I want to know who the god of that is. Yeah.
And a lap dancing club.
Wow.
Literally across the road. I mean, it's tawdry. And two tattoo parlours. It's tawdry, Gav. Where they do piercings.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 fang.
Radio X.
Thank you so much for all your road gods. Absolutely breathtaking in their genius.
Mm.
They found a Roman sea god by an A road in Kent.
Triton.
It's Triton, which is Neptune's son.
Yeah.
Triton, son of Neptune. For some reason, he's god of the seas.
Mm.
Something I thought Neptune was.
That's what I thought.
But so it's obviously in the family. It's Neptune and Sons.
Must be his eldest.
Neptune and Sons. Dun, 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 dun.
Hello, like, Neptune and Sons.
The Lord of all the seas. Neptune and Sons. Hello, Neptune and Sons. Yes, we are sea goddesses.
He's Triton about.
I'm afraid he's out on his rounds at the moment. He's causing a hurricane off the Florida coast.
He's on his deliveries.
Anyone else you'd like to speak
he's
to?
He's out on his rounds.
Is Neptune there? No, he's causing havoc at the moment round the world.
He's got a tsunami on, heading for Florida.
Young Mr. Triton's here. Right, Gaff. A26 running through T Wells is the kingdom of the god of ancient money, an assumed privilege.
Very good, yes.
Very good, Andrew T Wells. In fact, I've got to say, Andrew's got two in the curate here. He's also got the AT. He knows his road gods. Ah, you know your road gods well. He's also got this is genius. Okay, this is a bit of genius here.
Yeah.
I want everyone who's listening to acknowledge one of the text. If there was a high table for texters.
Sure.
He would be. So he's quite a text pest.
Oh, he's got tenure.
But there's no.
he's a professor.
Oh, he's a text case. Yeah. But he's quite brilliant.
Sure.
And here's an example of it. Mm-hmm. This is genius. I might have overbuilt it. The A299, which runs along the North Kent coast into Ramsgate, is presided over by the very angry spirit of nationalism. Absolutely. Laugh! Bit of genius. What have you got there, Gav?
The god of the M6 is Demento, because it sucked the life force out of you, says Dunk.
It does. It really does. It's a cruel rod. What have you got there? Tommy!
But the A406 North Circular, it's the god of contradiction, because it was built to ease congestion, only to become Britain's most congested road.
Right.
Wow.
So it's the god of contradiction.
Yeah.
I love that.
Nice one from Gemma. You
pray to the spirit of the. Okay, how about this?
A140, the god of tractors, says Chris in Ipswich.
Yeah.
Is there a god of tractors?
No, there is now.
There must be.
It's the god of farm vehicles generally. But anything
Massus
Ferguson. Anything that just has nothing in front of it and yet is slowing all traffic behind it. Right? It's the tailback god. The random tailback. The A12 London to Ipswich is home of the spirits of embitterment and disappointment.
Mm.
Thank you very much. Very nice. I think the A12 is also the god of dance music. taking us as it does straight into the heart of Essex.
Yeah.
Before it gets to Ipswich. A259 between St Leonard's and Hastings is inhabited by the god of upcycled furniture and shabby chic.
The Woodhead Pass out of Homeforth. The god is a large, grumpy shepherd who you must appease, especially if you're on a motorcycle. Otherwise, you end up with a sheep in your face, says Alan in Leeds.
What have you seen?
That's it, isn't it?
The god of cider oversees the M5, according to Rich.
That's nice. All right, listen, there's all the ones we've had cleared, because a lot of them get a bit indecent after
fruity,
that.
Yeah.
There's about another 2,000 filth. Most of them about the A1. A lot of people asking for friends where that little sleazy marina is. It's honestly, if you look at it, I've seen people arrive in a caravan, in a dormobile, get out the dormobile and split up, some to the caravan and some to the boat. So I'm thinking, you drive in a dormobile on a break to a caravan.
What the hell's going on?
Where's the break?
X.
With UK Export Finance, I'm fulfilling more export orders from around the world with working capital support.
Export insurance means I'll get paid when exporting to challenging markets.
At UK Export Finance, we believe no viable UK export should fail for lack of finance or insurance. Between 2022 and 2023, we provided £6.5 billion of government-backed trade finance to support UK exports. Learn how we could help you win export contracts, fulfil orders, and get paid. Search UK Export Finance today.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Hey, Gav.
Yeah?
Have you got a hero?
Sure.
Then let's have it. Now, you promised me today, and let me just consult my notes in this crisp packet.
Sure.
That's nice, a piece of paper. Okay. Yeah. The Woodman has an 18th century New Englander packing
He was a meat packer.
He packed an incredible amount of meat in your heroic little slot.
So, yeah, so just before I get into the hero, I want to say a happy birthday to Randy Jones. It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday, Randy. My middle name's Randy, weirdly.
Randy Jones is the cowboy from Village People, and he's the only member of Village People to have had a charted hit on his own.
Really? Who?
72 today. Randy Jones.
Well done, Randy.
Happy birthday. Anyway, the hero today, Johnny, is a man called Samuel Wilson. He lived from 1766.
Was that just apropos of nothing?
No, I just noticed when I was looking up who was born on this day, he was one of them.
Okay, Randy Jones, amazing. Village People, amazing, amazing band. Do you know why?
Do you know why they were called Village People?
Because they're from Greenwich Village.
Yeah.
And do you know only one of them was gay? And here's another great thing about it, yeah?
Go on.
They're all dancers. Is the reason they chose those characters to dance?
Yes, construction worker, policeman.
Because they were the five classic types of homophobe.
Oh, they were the most homophobic,
yes,
really.
Right, so the guy's done it to make construction workers, you say, and some of the things, cowboys, bikers.
Fantastic.
So now those bikers who are sort of, all those people who are traditionally quite homophobic are walking around
in the gear.
Feeling like people might be looking at them like they're gay. It's like Gabriel saying, ah.
The advert that called for auditions for the members, the original advert, required a moustache. I love that detail.
Yeah, because he wanted them to look
like
blue-collar guys.
Like
blue-collar homophobes. Genius. It's genius.
Anyway, the hero today, Johnny, is a man called Samuel Wilson. As I said, 1766 to 1854. He was born today in Arlington, Massachusetts. His grandfather, Robert Wilson, was from Greenock in Scotland.
Greenock.
At 14 years old, he joined the Continental Army, which was the 13 colonies fighting the British. His duties were to guard cattle, mend fences, slaughter the animals, process and package the meat.
Hello.
After that war, at 22 years old, him and his brother moved to a place called Troy, which is a city on the Hudson River north of New York. But in those days, it was a real pioneer era. They built several massive successful businesses with access to the Hudson River. One was pure luck. One of the properties he owned was on clay that was so good, it was brilliant for making bricks. And in those days, they used to have to import all their bricks from the Netherlands.
Okay.
They ended up just owning the market. Anyway, that's not why they're the hero. Then came round two of the squabble with the Brits, the War of 1812, and this is where Samuel Wilson's name was made famous.
Yeah, we tried to reinvade in 1812.
Well, that's right, yeah.
Awesome.
It was all about the colonies trying to expand northwest up to near the Great Lakes, because it was considered British Quebec territory.
Yeah, but it was also about the fact we were still at war with the French, remember, till 1815.
Yes,
So Napoleon was active. And it was about cutting.
So Samuel was now a man of substantial reputation and experience, and his one of his cattle companies was given a contract to supply the military with 2,000 barrels of pork and 3,000 barrels of beef.
2,000 barrels
for 1 year. This was subcontracted under another company called Elbert Anderson, and each barrel was labeled EAUS because of United States. But his nickname locally near the garrison was Uncle Sam. And so that's why the association came between his nickname and the US on his barrels.
Brilliant.
And that's the beginning of Uncle Sam meaning United States.
Ah.
Samuel Wilson.
How about that? Thank you so much, Gavin Woods, for giving us a hero. Gav, who are we saluting?
Samuel Wilson.
Samuel Wilson.
Uncle Sam.
Uncle Sam. Johnny Vaughan, 4 till 7, Fang. We salute you. What the Sam Houston is happening? He was the Texan leader.
Radio X.
Are you ready for this, guys?
Go on.
They thought a death cult.
Yeah.
Had done their. That's it. They'd achieved their aim.
Right.
The aim of a death cult, of course, is to all of them top themselves.
Yeah.
Get ready for this,
in
right?
A ceremony of some kind. Yeah.
Yeah. Ritualistically, Gav, perhaps. With some kind of leader.
Sure. Sure.
The motionless bodies were face up on the floor of a remote seaside observatory, arms outstretched, legs apart.
Right.
The police were called.
Yeah.
A ritual mass killing had occurred at the North Sea Observatory in Chapel St. Leonard's, Lincolnshire.
Yeah.
Police were told, heavily armed officers rushed to the spot, sirens blaring, guys.
Uh-huh.
Upon arrival, the police were met with looks of bemusement. It was not the site of a massacre. It was a yoga class.
What?
Run by Millie Laws, and the victims were in fact meditating. Such a fine line.
I said they would have been lying dead still for ages. That's
such
so
a fine
funny.
Line, isn't there, though, between a death cult massacre and a yoga class?
Yes, very, very similar.
It is a fine line.
It's
yeah.
such a.
I
know,
mean, it's almost Satanism,
boom.
Isn't it?
It is, yes. Yeah. Well, it certainly it's
sure.
Once you've done yoga, you, in my eyes, you're a heretic.
Sure.
Certainly as far as...
pagan, at the very least.
Well, no, yeah, you've joined a religion. It's a
sure,
religion.
Absolutely.
Yoga's a religion.
Yeah,
make
yeah.
no mistake about it.
Sure.
They're pulling you in,
mm-hmm.
but it's not just Cape Fed. It's a religion. It's a heretical cult. Anyway, Laws of Unity Yoga said she was leading a class of seven, guiding them into a corpse pose.
Right.
I'm not sure what it's called, if that's a pose, just lying there.
Yeah, right.
Mm.
Is it?
It's called Shavasana. And
oh,
here we go.
Baby.
The priestess.
She's a witch!
The priestess
She's
speak.
A witch!
And it's
She's a witch!
It's an opportunity for all the energy, the prana that you've built up during the class to then kind of dissipate through your body. So you, like, take in all
She's
that
a witch!
Energy.
She's a witch! She's a witch! Burn
So it's a really nice way to finish the
Banda!
Class.
Banda! She's a witch!
Where you can also regulate your breathing.
She's
and
a witch!
Potentially do some meditation.
Put her in the pond! I saw Goody Shiver with the devil! I saw Goody Proctor with the devil!
Oh,
yeah,
man.
It's nice. Really nice way to finish a class.
Sure.
She's... I bet it is.
Is it? Is it relaxing?
Yeah,
really relaxing.
It sounds relaxing.
It's lovely. You kind of then float out of the room after.
Yeah, right, right.
Like a frog in your cauldron, love.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Before you know it, you're the
Before
devil's
you've got
friend.
Eye of Newt in the old cauldron. Yeah.
Oh, we're silly.
More like yoga class, more like a coven. Anyway, the objective of the pose is to imitate a corpse by keeping the body still.
Sure.
To achieve total relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
I'd set up a semicircle of candles. I was walking around.
Oh, my God, circle of candles.
I was walking around with the drum. She's a witch! Sorry.
That's really weird.
About halfway through, I saw some policemen.
Who reported this?
Yeah, right.
It's so weird.
Just an onlooker.
According to workers at the observatory's Seaside Cafe, the emergency caller was concerned the yoga instructor was involved with some kind of ritual mass killing.
Wow. Well, that is a leap, isn't it?
Not great for your business either, if you're just going to kill all your customers.
Laws believes the people who called the police had mistaken her loose-fitting yoga outfit for a robe.
Right.
Like the type some cult leader might... She's a witch!
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now. Get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every single Friday from now to the end of time. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. Thanks.
Radio X. A battle has been waging on since the invention of the wheel. The battle for the front seat.
Banksy front seat.
It's that innate human desire to own the view, the space, the power. The Honda HR-V Hybrid is here to bring about peace with back seats that feel as good as the front.
I'll sit in the back.
The raised chassis and low window frames from front to back give everyone the views. The fuel tank hump is gone for more foot space and the leg room is roomy. And in terms of power, there's USB ports in the back too. So everyone's a winner. Honda. The power of dreams. Available on selected grades.